At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
Monday morning, November 25th, 2019, the Beating the Book podcast, Guessing Lines, Week 13 in the National Football League. It's Gil Alexander, Chrissy Andrews, my mishpucha. From the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook, we are about to do the routine that we do every week, tribute to the old Stardust show, trying to extract some value in the upcoming weekend's NFL lines. I have not seen the lines. I will guess them, and Chris will tell us what he's putting up at the South Point right at the show's conclusion. Guessing Lines, the Beating the Book podcast. Enjoy.
It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
He's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
He is indeed one of those idiots who believes in analytics. It is Gil Alexander. It is a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Vegas Stats and Information Network, Sirius XM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo Sling Game Plus on down the line. Good morning to you. Producer number five, Jeff Parlay, is here. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Gil.
We guess lines. That's what we do on Monday mornings here on the show. We guess lines in the National Football League. We'll do it for Week 13. Now, I say this every week, but good Lord, we are through the byes. We only have 5 weeks left of the NFL season. Everybody's played 11 games now. And of course, to help us along and the exercise here, the point of the exercise is trying to extract some value in the upcoming week's NFL lines. We bring in the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook Director, ladies and gentlemen, my mishpucha, Chrissy Andrews. Good morning, Chris.
What's going on, Gil?
How you doing, man? How was your weekend? How was the bookmaker's weekend?
Well, it was good, not great, but it was good. You know, no complaints on our end. The handle was fantastic yesterday. We just kind of held our percentage. You know, I was going through the games, and we didn't have any really big wins. We didn't have any really big losses. Just one of those kind of days. Just kind of grinded it out. You know, but that's okay. That's kind of a bookmaker's life. That's fine. And, I'd say all in all, it's pretty decent.
I sort of expected that answer. By the way, let me tell people this. Our old friend James Salinas is up to his old tricks again. Let me for folks who don't know, James Salinas, who has been a numbers game and VSiN guest, for that matter, since our inception. James Salinas won the Westgate Super Contest in 2015. He finished in third place in 2016, and I believe he finished in 26th place last year. He also won the first ever VSiN March Madness contest. He's just a contest just expert. Well, he's up to his old tricks. The Circa Million third quarter comes down to tonight's game, and yes, James Salinas is in play. Of course, tonight's game, it's amazing, man. Tonight's game between the Ravens and the Rams. It's 3.5 in the contest. It's 3.5 everywhere right now, by the way. He needs the he's got the Rams in this at +3.5. So he is tied with somebody for the $143,000 quarterly prize in the Circa Sports Million that Derek Stevens and Mike Palm so ably run. There is someone who is a half game back with the Ravens. So if the Ravens cover the 3.5, Salinas will not lose. But if the Rams get there, he will chop it in two, and he will be $70,000+ richer. And, of course, he has the opportunity with the standalone game to, as does everybody who's in it, to sort of lock in a profit. So how about that, Chris? James Salinas, once again, we hope to get him on the show tomorrow.
Well, I'll tell you what, that guy is one good handicapper. I mean, he's been doing it for years, and if he gives you a game, I would pay attention. That's all I can tell you. He's very, very good.
It's amazing.
He's on the Rams tonight?
He's on the Rams tonight, +3.5, yeah. And he was.
I'm going to make note of that.
Yeah, okay. He was 4-0. Yeah, let's make note of that, right? He's 4-0 this weekend. I just want to let people know the picks that he had this weekend were, and I want to get this right, looking up real quick. He went contrarian on these, but he went 4-0. He had, let's see here, who did he have? Well, I'll have to see who he had here because I cannot remember offhand. But it was a contrarian deal where he had the Redskins, for instance, among his picks. I know he had the Giants. So those were two of his four picks that he had, Redskins and Giants. Redskins being probably the most contrarian of the bunch. And that got home for, oh, here it is. Redskins, Giants, Panthers, and Bills to go 4-0 yesterday with the Rams pending tonight. That dude is something. So, by the way, for those who are wondering what his entry name is, El Kabong. Do you know what that's a reference to, Chris? El Kabong?
El Kabong. There's a cartoon from the
60s. That's exactly right.
Quick Draw McGraw?
I did not prepare that with Chrissy. That's how good Chris Andrews is. That's exactly what it is. Quick Draw McGraw's alias. Good for you. Excellent Hanna-Barbera knowledge on your part, Chris.
My God, I can't believe I pulled that one out. But
that's amazing.
As you said it, I kind of had that vision in my mind.
Yeah, El Kabong. I think his son really loves it, so that's what he went with. All right, so let's see if we could get some lines here in Week 13, try to extract some value. Let's begin with Thursday night, Chris.
Oh, by the way, my Twitter picture, my Twitter avatar is Mr. Peabody, so I'm a great great fan of 60s cartoons.
Who am I talking to? That's right.
Yeah, come on, Gil, wake up.
Oh, it's Thanksgiving. Okay. It's not a Thursday night. It's a triple header on Thanksgiving. Of course it's Thanksgiving.
It's a Thursday morning.
Yeah.
It's a Thursday morning, Gil. So, anyway. Okay. Chicago at Detroit.
Well, let's go through this one quickly. Chicago yesterday, they spot the Giants a touchdown. They end up holding on to a 19-14 win. That extra point meant a lot to some, that final extra point by the Giants. That's for sure. Mitch Trubisky, 25 of 41 for 278, one touchdown, two picks. He was sacked two times. Allen Robinson continues to be his big target, 6 for 131 and a touchdown. Khalil Mack with just his second sack in 7 games, but that one set up a touchdown because it was a strip sack. Bears have scored touchdowns on their first drives of the second half now in 5 straight games. File that one away, in-game bettors. The Bears have scored a touchdown on their first drive of the second half in 5 straight games now. And the Detroit Lions, without Matthew Stafford, and by the way, Matthew Stafford will not be available for this game on Thanksgiving either. There is some talk that they will shut Matthew Stafford down, although Stafford says he would like to come back and play this year, but he will not play in this game on Thursday. They go into D.C. and somehow let Dwayne Haskins Jr. and the Redskins beat them 19-16, although someone tell Dwayne Haskins Jr. because he's busy taking selfies while the team's still in victory formation. Joe Theismann lost his mind. Jeff Driscoll and the Lions, they lose their 4th in a row, 3rd since Stafford went out with an injury. He was 20 of 33, 1 touchdown, 3 picks. He was sacked 6 times by the Skins. Bo Scarborough sighting, 18 carries for 98 yards, 4 turnovers for the Lions. That's what did them in, -2 on turnovers at the Skins. So with no Stafford, I just simply made this a pick 'em. Am I being lazy with that?
No, not really. Although I do see the Bears as a 1-point favorite. I see a pick in a couple spots, but I also see it as high as 1.5 in some decent spots as well. I'm going to go with 1. Geez, you know, I mean, it's one of those things that you look back. Jeff Driscoll was a road favorite last night, you know, and I know it was the Redskins, and they didn't play particularly well, the Redskins, but, you know, no. Jeff Driscoll, a road favorite. I mean, come on. I don't know about that. Anyway, to talk about the Bears game for just a second ago, I was looking through five games, the point spread mattered, which is way more than usual.
Yes.
This weekend. So five games. I'm just getting off on a little bit of a tangent. I'm going to open the Bears one. I think that's okay. The Bears weren't any great shakes by any means, but, you know, they're going to be a road favorite here. I don't know. That's a tough one. I'm going to open one.
Let me clarify what Chrissy just said there. He said five games yesterday, the point spread mattered. What he means by that is 83% of the time, historically, in the NFL regular season, 83% of the time, the point spread does not matter. What that means is that the favorite covers or the underdog wins outright 83% of the time. So if you could just pick a winner, the point spread doesn't matter. But there were a grand total of five games yesterday where the favorite won but did not cover. That's what Chris is referring to. Going back to Thursday. So four yesterday, and that was one of them, the Bears and the Giants, according to the closing line, based on that last extra point. All right, so what are you putting up on that again?
I'm going to open the Bears one. I think that's okay. That's a tough game, you know, but we'll go with one and see where the public wants to take us.
All right, let's see if we can get through all three Thanksgiving games. What's next?
Okay, Buffalo at Dallas.
Detroit is always the traditional first Thanksgiving game. Dallas is always the second one. And then in recent times, they've had a third. Buffalo at Dallas, pretty good game. Buffalo's 8-3 now after they beat Denver 20-3. We'll get into the Broncos later. Dallas loses to the Patriots in very inclement weather in Foxborough. A lot of precipitation, high winds. They lose that 13-9, but that's one of those games that we were just referring to where the favorite won but did not cover. Buffalo best record now, 8-3 through 11 games since 1996. Trying to make the playoffs for the second time in 3 years now. Josh Allen, 15 of 25 for 185. Two touchdowns, one pick. He was sacked once. Devin Singletary becoming their guy. 21 carries for 106 yards. And Frank Gore, by the way, this has nothing to do with betting, but Frank Gore passes Barry Sanders, Chris, for the third most rushing yards in NFL history, passing Marshall Faulk for fourth all-time yards from scrimmage, by the way. So it's on the rushing list, it's Emmitt Smith, Walter Payton, Frank Gore. Wow.
Wow.
When did that happen?
Unbelievable.
It's incredible. On two bum knees, by two surgically repaired knees.
Yeah.
The Bills end up with 244 total yards rushing in this game yesterday against the Broncos. They were 8 of 16 on third down. They did have 12 penalties for 90 yards, but they limited the Broncos to 134 yards and a grand total of 9 first downs while forcing 8 punts. So how much of that is the Buffalo defense? How much of that is the Broncos offense? You decide. Dallas, in their loss to the Patriots, Dak Prescott, once he got his proper handwear, if you will, 19 of 33 for 212, no touchdowns, one pick, was not sacked. But the Cowboys were 2 of 13 on third downs against the Pats. Amari Cooper held without a catch for the first time in his Cowboys career. Patriots held the Cowboys without a touchdown for the first time this season. They basically did what Bill Belichick does. They took away two of Prescott's favorite targets, Cooper and Jason Witten. They stacked the box on first and second down against Zeke. And Jerry Jones, after the game, because there was huge special teams plays yesterday, Jerry Jones, quote, special teams is 100% coaching, taking a shot at the clapper and his staff with that one because they allowed a blocked punt. They missed a field goal. They blew 20 yards of field position with a penalty on another punt. Just a bad special teams day for the Cowboys, and that might have been the difference. So it's at Dallas. It's Thanksgiving. I tend to believe a lot of that Buffalo performance yesterday was the Broncos' inept offense, so I'll say Dallas minus 6.5.
Well, I like your number better, Gil, but it's 7, and it's a pretty solid 7. We do everything at 11 to 10 here at the South Point, so I'm going to open 7 because I don't want to play that little game and have 6.5, 7, that I have to fade all week. But I do like your number better. It's 7. That is what I'm going to open it. But I have to tell you, I'm very impressed with Buffalo. On last week's show, I gave out two games that I liked. I like Buffalo being one, Green Bay being the other one. I was hugely wrong on the one. I was hugely right on this one. Buffalo's defense is really, really good, and Brandon Allen is getting better. Wait, that's the wrong Allen. I keep forgetting.
Wrong
Josh Allen.
Yes.
Is getting better. That's four Allens. I can't believe it. Anyway, I think that they will keep this game pretty darn close. And, Amari Cooper, zero catches.
Yeah.
Well, I guarantee somebody on Buffalo is going to be looking at those films and figuring out how they do that. But I think the 6.5 is better than the 7, but I am going to open 7. And I'm keeping an eye on this one. If I see that drop lower, I am going to drop lower and see what happens, because I think Buffalo, a very live dog in this game.
You will drop it lower with the quickness. I understand. But 7 is where
I will.
Okay.
I will.
What's the
third? 7 is where I'm going to open, but I like the dog, I got to tell you.
What's the third of the Thanksgiving games?
New Orleans and Atlanta, and they played last year. On this, is this going to be the new tradition? New Orleans and Atlanta every Thanksgiving? I don't know.
Yeah,
they played last year.
Yeah, and New Orleans just played Atlanta the week before. Like, didn't they play? They played. Yeah, so this will be two games against each other in a 3-week span. Actually, 15 calendar days, but 3-week NFL span. New Orleans yesterday, I don't know how they beat Carolina, but they did. Will Lutz, 33-yard field goal as time expired. By the way, that one just snuck through as well. Saints beat the Panthers 34-31. Another one of those games that Chrissy was referring to were the favorite one, but did not cover. They were 10-point favorites. That Will Lutz field goal, and by the way, now if you look at the standings, the New Orleans Saints have a 4-game lead in the NFC South with 5 games left. So Katie barred the door on that. But that Will Lutz field goal came after New Orleans went from its own 14-yard line with 1:51 left to the Carolina 15 with 3 seconds remaining to set up the winning kick. That was the end of a contest that basically was a roller coaster at the end. Late momentum shifts, big errors, none bigger than Carolina's kicker Joey Sly missing a 28-yarder. 28-yarder, just completely choked with 2 minutes left. By the way, he also, or I should say, he also missed 2 extra points earlier in the game.
Yeah.
The Saints, by the way, missed a 2-point conversion, or the Saints, the Panthers, rather, missed a 2-point conversion earlier. There was all kinds of things that should have gone Carolina's way that didn't. But that Sly miss came after the Panthers. Eric Reed stuffed Alvin Kamara on a run to the right side, 4th-and-1 from the New Orleans 45. That set up a sequence in which Carolina coach Ron Rivera successfully challenged an official's decision not to call pass interference on a 3rd-down incomplete pass. Irony of ironies that this happened to the Saints. That set up a first and goal at the 3 with 2:21 left. Of course, Sly then misses the field goal. Panthers couldn't convert, and so that's why they had to attempt the field goal. Panthers attempted to pass for a 2-point conversion, by the way, after their second touchdown. As I mentioned, it was broken up. Drew Brees, 30 of 39, 311, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. He was sacked twice. Sean Payton actually got mad at him once on the sideline in this game. Michael Thomas continues to be his man. 10 catches, 101 yards, a touchdown. Jared Cook, 6 for 99 and a touchdown. But the Saints were penalized heavily, 12 for 123 in the penalty department. And then Atlanta, real quickly, they lose to Tampa Bay 35-22. I guess the Falcons are who we thought they were after a 2-week surge. They're 1-4 straight up at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Matt Ryan, 23 of 46 for 271, but he was sacked 6 times. It was his lowest rated game of the season, despite the fact that Calvin Ridley caught 6 passes for 85 yards and a touchdown. So this is a revenge game real quick for the Saints. Again, huge lead in the South. But the Falcons, if we recall, 2 weeks ago in the NFL, 8 days ago, went in there and just destroyed them at New Orleans. I'll say it's New Orleans minus 6 on the road here.
Well, I see 6.5 and 7. Probably a little more 6.5. I'm going to open this 1-7, Gil.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about the revenge factor. I think the revenge factor will be very much in New Orleans' favor this week. They did get really thoroughly embarrassed by this Atlanta team. Atlanta got their comeuppance yesterday. Like you said, I think they are who we thought they were. They had been playing really, really well for a couple weeks. but I think they got exposed yesterday. Ordinarily, a game like this, I'd probably favor the dog, but I don't favor the dog in this spot. They'll probably take the 7 off me. So if you're out there in radio land listening, line up quick because we're going to open at 7. They'll probably take it off me fairly quickly. But I'm going to take a bet on New Orleans. I think New Orleans is probably the right side here, and I'm not sure I'm going to mark that as one of the games I like, but I do kind of like them. I think New Orleans stumbled through the game yesterday. They have the focus of being embarrassed by Atlanta a couple weeks ago. In a short week like this, I ordinarily like the better coaching staff, and I think it's probably one of the better coaching staffs in the league with New Orleans. I'm not so sure about Atlanta. So I think I favor the Saints in this one.
How'd you feel about the PI reversal, Jeff? Did you like it?
I thought it was PI, but we haven't seen that overturned all year, basically. So it was odd to see Riveron actually get that one correct. Granted, it was another fantastic day of just ridiculously terrible NFL officiating across the board.
I agree with you, though. I think it was the right thing to do, but the fact is we don't have precedents, right, around the league where they've been doing that. They've been reversing, although now it seems like they're reversing some of these at perhaps a bit of a higher rate than they have been. Nonetheless, though, some Saints fans and moneyliners will say justice was served when Sly missed the 28-yarder and Lutz was able to sneak in a 33-yarder. We will go to Sunday, and we'll guess some lines for Week 13. We'll move on. Chris Andrews, the South Point Sportsbook director, is with us. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter at Andrews Sports. Follow me at Beating the Book. Follow Jeff Parles at Jeff Parles, P-A-R-L-E-S. How about that? We'll come back. We'll get some lines right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN. It's all brought to you by the BetMGM app. Fall, the most exciting time of year, of course, at New Jersey's ultimate online destination for fans who want to wager on football, pro and college basketball, hockey, and more. And this week, BetMGM has a special offer for new customers on tonight's matchup, between the Ravens and the Rams. Just use bonus code VSiN100 to place a $1 pregame moneyline bet on the Rams specifically and win $100 if the Rams get a first down. That's right. All you need is one first down from the Rams. First-time BetMGM bettors get 100-1 odds on the Rams getting a first down when they use bonus code VSIN100. Time to believe in your game at BetMGM. Turn your predictions into convictions with real money bets on parlays, boosted odds specials, in-game live betting, and much more. Download the BetMGM app or visit BetMGM.com today and get 100-1 odds on the Rams getting a first down when you use bonus code VSIN100. Got to be 21 or older. Got to be in New Jersey. Restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for the full list of terms and conditions. Coming back, guessing lines on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Do you think when Brent goes back in his career and he's like, I did all these sports, I did the U.S. Open, I did college football, do you think he adds the Manscaped stuff to that list now? Do you think it's part of it? I want to send a shout out. We get tweets, of course, at Beating the Book. Shy City Brian sent this in, a little Frank Gore. I didn't want to let the Frank Gore thing just linger there or just sort of fall. One of my favorite Gore stats, he tweets this out. This is not Brian talking, but something that he tweeted out. Frank Gore leading the 2019 Bills in rushing yards, which would be the 15th time in his 15-year career that he's been his team's leading rusher. Nobody has done that, not even Emmitt Smith. So another thing for the Frank Gore Hall of Fame resume. You think he's a Hall of Famer? Jeff?
I mean, he's the perfect definition of Hall of Very Good, but here's the problem. When you're the third, I know in baseball we have the accumulators,
yes,
who make their way into the Hall of Fame.
That's right, the counting stats.
Yeah, but Gore, I mean, look, longevity for a position that doesn't have longevity these days either. I don't know how you're going to keep. And also,
he is absolutely a Hall of Famer.
You know also that he's beloved by the folks that cover the game as well. So he's going to get in because of that as well. He's with all these great stats.
He's also very passionate, apparently, about his Hall of Fame status as well. He'll give you his resume. So I think absolutely he is.
Okay, he'll get in. He may not be first ballot, but he'll get in.
Absolutely. We bring in Chris Andrews back from the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook, my mishpucha. Chrissy, shall we continue with Sunday game, sir?
Hey, before we continue, I could see money showing on Buffalo pretty much everywhere. So I will open this game 6.5. I do see a 6.5 out there, but a lot of 7, guys hate moving off numbers. So a lot of 7 with juice on the dog. But I'm going to open 6.5. Like I said, we do everything 11 to 10 here at the South Point.
So, it's come to me already.
I'm going to open 6.5.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's, and I'll tell you, too, I'd take the 6.5 before I'd lay it.
Yeah, well, 6.5, that's what I figured it would be. 6.5 it is now, 20 minutes into the show. All right, let's go Sunday.
Sunday morning, Green Bay at the New York Giants.
You know, I had more difficulty. I was telling Parlay before the show. I had more difficulty coming up with this line than anything because Green Bay last night got smoked by the Niners, 37
to 8. Yes, they did.
My goodness, did they. As three-point dogs, by the way, Green Bay smoked 37-8. Aaron Rodgers, 20 of 33 for 104. Let me repeat that. Aaron Rodgers, 20 of 33 for 104 yards passing. One touchdown, no picks. He was sacked five times. 1.7 yards per pass play when he was in the game. The Packers were 1 of 15 on third downs. The Packers with a grand total of 198 total yards. They got into an early hole when Fred Warner sacked Rodgers on the opening drive, forced a fumble that Nick Bosa recovered at the 2. 49ers broke it open then late in the first half after forcing the Packers to punt following the two-minute warning. Garoppolo throws a 42-yarder to Debo Samuel to cap a three-play drive, made it 20-0. And then as if that wasn't enough before the half, the Niners then forced a three and out, took over at their own 48. With 24 seconds left, Garoppolo completes a 22-yarder to Kittle. Chase McLaughlin, 48-yard field goal, 23-0 at halftime. Katie bar the door. And then there's the Giants, who, as we mentioned, lost to the Bears 19-14, although they did cover for most. They dropped their seventh straight, clinched their third losing season in a row. Danny Dimes, 21 of 36 for 150, two touchdowns, no picks, sacked once. The Giants were 1 of 12. On third downs. They were 2 of 4 on fourth downs. They only had 243 total yards against the Bears. Saquon Barkley, by the way, 59 yards rushing. Is this a thing, Jeff? 59 yards rushing for Saquon. 72, 64, 28, and 1 in his previous first four games back from the high right ankle sprain. So I guess we can still chalk this up to the injury. But let me just repeat that for Saquon. Last five games, 72, 64, 28, 1, and yesterday, 59 yards. Aldrick Rosas missed two field goals. New York falling to 7-20 now, straight up under head coach Pat Shurmur. 7-20. So because the Packers got smoked last night, Chris, this was hard for me to come up with, but I'm gonna kind of act like that didn't happen because it's the Giants. So I'll still say Green Bay by a touchdown on the road. Seven.
You're a little high. It's 6.5. But this was a tough one for me, too, Gil, because I liked Green Bay going into the game yesterday, along with a lot of the public was on Green Bay. The sharp guys were on San Francisco. I don't think the Niners were actually all that great. I think, really, Green Bay was just terrible. The one thing about Barkley, they just don't have many weapons on the Giants. So I think you could really focus your defense on Barkley and he'll take away almost everything the Giants want to do. I don't know. Like I said, this is a tough one. I'm going to open 6.5. I think that's okay. I'm not a strong opinion on this game whatsoever. Can Rodgers be as bad as he looked yesterday? I don't think he can, to be honest with you. But we'll see. This is a very weak defense that he's playing this week. And I think he'll be, I think he'll rebound. Because he really has been, kind of inconsistent this year. But this is the kind of defense he could get healthy with, and I think he will this week.
Let me ask you this, because you just brought it up with San Francisco. Obviously, Green Bay looked terrible, and you mentioned you said I don't think San Francisco even looked all that great in victory after New England's win. And I get it was inclement weather, but they just get by the Cowboys. Isn't the headline in the NFL that every single team is incredibly flawed, and that there is just no super team at all, not even close?
Yeah, you look at New England. Listen, their defense is terrific. But I said it last week on the show. They really haven't been tested all that greatly. Now their schedule gets a lot tougher down the stretch here. But including last night's game, yesterday's game, we thought that was going to be a bigger test, the defense. And they passed with flying colors. Now, the weather had something to do with it, but they completely took Amari Cooper out of that game. Ezekiel Elliott had some decent numbers, not great, but decent. To get back to your question, every team is just not great this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the teams that are healthy and I think playing the best defense down the stretch are probably going to be the teams that, to, you know, make it, I hate to say make it to the Super Bowl, but let's say make a deep playoff run. And I think that's going to be the key down the stretch, because the offense is, you know, can be stopped in a lot of ways, in a lot of the top teams, and Green Bay certainly being one of them.
I'm just trying to think about all these teams, and Jeff, you help me out if I'm forgetting anybody. New Orleans probably should have lost to Carolina yesterday. Just think about the good teams. Seattle's 9-2, but you know, I don't think anybody thinks they're a super team. They're a lot of them on the strength of one guy, perhaps on each side of the ball. You know, tonight's game in many ways is a referendum. It's an interesting game. A referendum on both sides of the ball. One, are the Rams going to make a run here in 2019, right? The year after they get to the Super Bowl. They're 6-4 right now. There's no reason they can't get to the playoffs, but a game like tonight will really show us, is this team any good or are they done? You know, it's the type of game tonight where it's really a fulcrum game for them. And then the question I was just asking you, Chrissy, the Ravens might be that team that could show us as early as tonight that, oh, we're over here. We're the team that's better than everybody. So that makes tonight's game super fascinating to me, with the Ravens, again, 3.5-point favorites in this one.
Yeah, you know, the other team to kind of keep your eye on, and I hate to say this because we're in a very vulnerable position with them, but keep your eye on Buffalo. I mean, they could shut you down defensively. You know, like I said, Josh Allen, he's getting better. I mean, I don't want to put him in the – either in the top half of quarterbacks in the NFL, but you know they're a team that can win some games, and I think they're going to be dangerous down the stretch and in the playoffs because that defense is just that good.
I'm not buying yet, but I will give you full credit if that actually manifests. Yeah. Let's do one more here on Sunday.
Oh, you'll love this one. Your Washington Redskins against Carolina.
You cannot eliminate the Washington Redskins, ladies and gentlemen, before Thanksgiving. .. Before Thanksgiving. Redskins are 2-9. We talked about them beating the Lions. Dwayne Haskins, again, when the Redskins were in victory formation, was taking selfies there. So we'll have to get that worked out. Carolina, as we mentioned, lose to the Saints, but probably should have won that football game for many reasons. Quentin Dunbar, by the way, for the Redskins, picked off Jeff Driscoll. Final minute, Dustin Hopkins with the go-ahead field goal from 39 yards out with 16 seconds left. Skins won that 19-16. Break a four-game losing streak. Dwayne Haskins Jr., 13 of 29 for 156. No touchdowns, one pick, three sacks. Terry McLaurin was his big target, big-ish, 5 for 72. Redskins only had 230 total yards. Let's not get crazy. They had 8 penalties for 63 yards. They still are the Redskins. Josh Norman, by the way, in uniform, but only saw the field on special teams. How about that? Josh Norman, he of the large 5-year deal in his fourth year, only sees the field on special teams. Carolina in defeat yesterday. Kyle Allen, 23 of 36 for 256, 3 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 4 times. And Christian McCaffrey, just Christian McCaffrey, 22 of 64 with a touchdown, 9 catches for 69 yards with an additional touchdown. And DJ Moore finally got in the end zone a couple times, 6 for 126 for 2 touchdowns. I'll say Carolina by 10.
Yeah, you're right on. It's 10. I see 10.5.
Nice.
But I think 10 is a good number. You know, really, the Redskins were awful yesterday.
Terrible.
They just beat a more awful team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so let's not. And I'll tell you what, Carolina's not bad. They could have won that game. And whatever the kicker's name is, I'm sure he's looking for a job this morning.
Joey Sly. Yeah.
Yeah, he really cost them that game yesterday. But yeah, I think 10's a good number to start. Let's not get too crazy with Washington. They're always dangerous laying double digits. But Haskins taking the selfie, I mean, how perfect is that? That's Redskin
really
football right there.
What a great way to put it. How perfect is that? And it's poetic is what it is. Yeah. Joe Theismann, who used to wear a number 7 and who actually granted Dwayne Haskins permission to wear 7 because it was sort of this semi-retired number in the franchise. Right. He is not happy with that yesterday. So Carolina minus 10, and that's what it is what you're saying. Makes sense to me.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yep.
Let's take a break. Let's do a couple more. Guessing lines. Week 13 in the National Football League. Trying to extract some value. I don't know if we found that much yet. See if we can. Coming up on A Numbers Game at VSiN.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Back in studio, Gil Alexander with Jeff Parlay, producer number five, and Patient X, Los, in the corner. He denies it vehemently, but we're pinning this on him. Everybody in studio, I did not, but everybody in studio got sick. Jeff was really sick. Mitch and Paul were sick as well on Follow the Money before us, the Gentile version of this show. And we're all blaming Los. Los was the guy.
100% all on Los.
Yeah.
100%.
He licked all the microphones.
Even though he'll deny it till the day's end.
That's right. It's you, Los. He's okay now. So just don't let it happen again. Let's get some more lines. Week 13, Chrissy Andrews is here. What do we got next, sir?
By the way, that's why I do this show from home. I'm not
allowed exactly
in a
right.
enclosed room
100%.
With a bunch of sick guys.
That's great.
So my doctor would my wife would murder me. She's in the next room if I did that. So I don't know why she would, though. She stands to do pretty good if I kick the bucket. So anyway.
Well, that took a turn. Jeez.
Yeah. Well, that's my, believe me, that's my darling. She's, yeah. I know she's listening right now. So she'll hopefully laugh at that.
We're on the air, Chris. Yes.
Yeah. Like I said, she's in the other room listening. Anyway, next up. Those San Francisco 49ers and the Baltimore Ravens. Good game on Sunday morning.
Oh, man. Wow, that's a good game. Well, San Francisco, of course, as we mentioned, they beat the Packers, not just beat them silly last night. Again, 37-8, taking on the Ravens, who we have not seen yet. Again, the Ravens take on the Rams at L.A. tonight. They're 3.5-point favorites on the road in that one. Jimmy Garoppolo yesterday. Jimmy G, just sort of to your point, Chris, about how great were the Niners? Well, on offense, they didn't really have to do much. 14 of 20 for 253, two touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked three times. Niners didn't convert a third down in the first half of that game. George Kittle back in the lineup, and man, is that a big difference for the Niners. Six catches for 129, touchdown for him, back from knee and ankle injuries. The Niners, not only did they go to Baltimore here, but then they go to New Orleans the following week. So that's a two-week stretch here for the Niners, where we are going to, the proverbial, learn a lot about this football team in the next 2 weeks. And let me just make this note about the Niners last night. I was talking to Parlay about this before. They allowed 78 points the past 3 weeks in two games against Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson. Then they get the traditional pocket passer like Aaron Rodgers yesterday, and they allow a grand total of 198 yards on 70 plays. Didn't allow a single completion longer than 15 yards. So I'm wondering, as a sort of handicapping note with the Niners, maybe against mobile quarterbacks, a little more of an Achilles heel, if I may use that expression, thank you very much, maybe more of an Achilles heel for the Niners than against a pocket passer who they just absolutely destroy, even the likes of Aaron Rodgers. So let me just sort of throw that out there. But I'll say this is at Baltimore, so I'll say it'll be Baltimore. Baltimore's 3.5 tonight at the Rams. I'll say they'll be 3.5 at home against the Niners.
Well, I see 3.5 and 4. There's some lingering numbers out there that guys who had opened at higher, who had, going into yesterday's game, they opened it yesterday morning, like 4.5 and 5, which I thought was a little high. But I tell you, the more I looked at San Francisco, they were good, but I think, it really was a defensive game. Mm-hmm. Here's an interesting stat. I was looking at a Garoppolo. He was, 14 to 20, 253 yards, 12.7 per attempt, two touchdowns, no interceptions. His passer rating was 145.8, which is, terrific.
Mm-hmm.
His QBR, 18.2.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Now, that is interesting. And like I said, I always don't really know what goes into QBR. I mean, it's one of these, like a secret recipe, like Coca-Cola. I mean, it's in a safe somewhere. I don't know how they figure it. But I do like looking at it. It just gives you a little bit of a different perspective. Because I didn't think they were that great yesterday.
That's almost impossible.
I'm sorry, Gil?
That's almost impossible what you just said. 145.8 quarterback right now. 145.8, just to refresh people's memories, is out of 158.3, squirrely, old-school passer rating. The QBR is scored out of 100, and it was what?
18.2.
There you go.
Pretty sure.
Stats, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't think I copied it wrong. Yeah, I mean, but anyway,
let me check on that.
I see 3.5 and 4.
I got to check on that. I don't think I made a mistake, but I might have. But anyway, I'd like the four a little bit. I am correct.
Jeff confirms you are correct. Yeah.
Yeah. I like the four a little bit better. And it's funny because I kind of like the Rams tonight a little bit. But I think Baltimore won't look that great tonight, and the number might come down a little bit. But I like four a little better here. I didn't know that stat you had talked about, pocket passers versus mobile quarterbacks for San Francisco's defense. But I think Baltimore is just a little bit better, and I think they deserve to be a four-point favorite. So that's what I'm going to open them. And, of course, we got tonight's game, so I will close that up at post time tonight.
Yeah, I used the word referendum to talk about the Rams and the Ravens tonight. Well, referendum game between the Niners and the Ravens about the Niners next week.
Yeah.
You know, these are real interesting games as we head closer and closer to the postseason. Let's do one more here.
Tennessee and Indianapolis.
All right. Well, this has to be three. Let's just start there. Am I right about that?
Definitely. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Not much else it could be.
Yeah. Another AFC South game seemingly every week against two teams that are cozied up to 500. Both of these teams are 6-5. Tennessee against Jacksonville yesterday. By the way, Tennessee won that game 42-20 in a game that really wasn't that close, as it turned out. They did it as four-point favorites. The Titans scored four touchdowns over a span of, six offensive plays in the third quarter. Let me repeat that. Four touchdowns over the span of six offensive plays in the third quarter for the 42-20 rout. Ryan Tannehill. Talking about, Garoppolo only threw 20 passes. Ryan Tannehill was 14 of 18 for 259, two touchdown passes, no picks. He was sacked once, but he did score twice on the ground, seven carries for 40 yards and two running touchdowns. The Titans are 4-1 now, straight up, with Tannehill as their quarterback. Remember Marcus Mariota, everybody? Anybody remember that guy? Long gone. Derrick Henry doing his late season thing, 19 carries, 159 yards, two touchdowns. He becomes the first player in the NFL since 2006 to score two touchdowns within 20 seconds. That's what he did yesterday. A.J. Brown was Tannehill's biggest target of his 14 completions, four catches for 135, a touchdown. The Titans racked up 471 total yards against the Jags, 219 of which were rushing. Titans tied with the Colts and the Raiders, just outside the AFC's final wild card spot, the next two opponents, by the way, with both of them on the road. This first one at Indianapolis and then at the Raiders. The Colts, for their part, as we mentioned, this was a Thursday game. They lost to the Texans. Jacoby Brissett was 16 of 25 in that game for just 129. No touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked once. Jonathan Williams, in Marlon Mack's absence, their biggest rushing threat, 26 for 104 and a touchdown. They were 9 of 15 on third downs in that game. But it's three, and you said it's three, and there's nothing else it could be.
Yeah, I mean, there's some like 3 minus 05, 2.5 minus 30, of course, we're on to that. So it's just going to be three, and I think this number probably going to stay there pretty much all week.
Yeah.
Gil, by the way, you were talking about QBR and Marcus Mariota. He had the lowest QBR of any starting quarterback who started any significant amount of games until he was unseated by Mason Rudolph. So we'll get to the Steelers a little later.
Yes, we will.
But, Tannehill, I'm just wondering, did he just suffer from poor coaching? I mean, he was a first-round draft pick, don't forget, a couple years back. But he's playing some pretty good football. And like I said, I really like Mike Vrabel as a coach. I like Frank Reich as a coach, too. So I think it's a really interesting game. And, I can't wait to see this one. It should be good.
Yeah. And Ryan Tannehill, of course, one of those guys who only played a couple handful of games at quarterback in college before he was drafted as such in the National Football League. We'll come back. We'll get some more lines coming back right here on A Numbers Game at Visa.
Support for today's show, as always, comes from Bookmaker.eu, an industry leader for close to 30 years. Professional players consider them a must for three reasons. Everybody together. They're first to post odds. They take the highest limits. And they pride themselves on never having kicked out a winning player ever. That is huge in today's global landscape. Bookmaker's a high-volume sportsbook best suited for the sophisticated player who understands sports betting, but they also cater to large recreational players, perhaps like yourself. And their motto remains where the lines originate, because chances are your sportsbook follows their lines. Right now, if you visit bookmaker.eu/gill, that's bookmaker.eu/GILL, Visit today. You can join and claim an exclusive 100% welcome bonus of up to $300. That's bookmaker.eu/Gil to join and claim your welcome bonus of up to $300. Bookmaker.eu/Gil.
It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Yes, I am. It is a numbers game right here at Visa, the Vegas Stats and Information Network, Sirius XM, Channel 204, Visa.com, the Visa app. Good morning to you once again, everybody. It is Gil Alexander. Jeff Barles, producer number 5, is here as well. And clearly the most impressive thing on this program so far this morning is that Chris Andrews, when asked, what is El Kabong, immediately said, isn't that an alias for Quick Draw McGraw? And he's absolutely correct. Again, James Salinas tonight, El Kabong in the Circa Sports Million Quarterly, needs the Rams. If the Rams cover, chop, $70,000+ in his pocket. Man, that dude. Good for him. We'll try to get James on the show tomorrow, win or lose. How about that? We'll get James on there, get some of his handicapping thoughts and his approach. Let's get some more lines. Chris, by the way, El Kabong, Quick Draw McGraw, well done. Great knowledge on your part.
I have so much useless information floating around in my brain. It's ridiculous.
Steel trap your mind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right. What's next?
Philadelphia at Miami.
Okay. Can I just apologize to people? Because about two, was it like 6-7 weeks ago? I don't know. Some point into the NFL season, we were doing quarterback tiers. And my whole point of the whole subject was to show how few great quarterbacks there actually were. And I came up with a list, I think, of 6 at the time. And for some reason, I felt generous, and I added Carson Wentz into that group. How stupid does that feel right now? Let me just, the caveat with this is, Carson Wentz doesn't have DeSean Jackson, didn't have Alshon Jeffrey again yesterday, didn't have Nelson Agholor, didn't have Jordan Howard, Lane Johnson was out. And we've talked about for years now, or a couple years anyway, Lane Johnson means so much to that Eagles team in terms of just strict wins and losses. Brandon Brooks left the game in the first quarter. Yeah. They're starting right guard. So caveat is they were really depleted on offense. I get it. However, if I may just say, there were some throws yesterday from Carson Wentz, and this is going on for a couple weeks now. But yesterday there was one to Miles Sanders where he was wide open. He could have just lollygagged traipsed on into the end zone. All he needed is like a little 7-yard floater. Carson Wentz threw that ball about 14 yards. There was one, and he's real loose with the football all of a sudden. So I don't know what's going on with Carson Wentz. But the Eagles lose to the Seahawks in a game that the Seahawks probably should have won 1,003. But they end up losing it 17-9, do the Eagles. The Seahawks covered the 2.5-point spread at Philly yesterday. Mentioned all those guys that the Eagles were missing. Both of those offensive linemen were Pro Bowlers, by the way. They couldn't do much on offense. They hurt themselves with three turnovers, by the way, inside Seattle territory and another near midfield. By the way, rookie first-round pick Andre Dillard was forced to make his first career start at right tackle after playing the left side all season, and he was benched at halftime. So that's how well that went. Wentz in the stat sheet, 33 of 45 for 256, one touchdown, two picks, sacked 3 times, lost 2 fumbles, including one on a handoff exchange. Wentz, quote, I gotta be better. No excuses. It starts with me. Zach Ertz continues to be his favorite target, 12 for 91 and a touchdown. So 5 total turnovers for the Eagles in that game, minus 3 turnover difference. But they're going to Miami, which is always the tonic. Miami loses to Cleveland yesterday, 41-24. They do not cover. But let me just say this. Did anybody see that last, right before Cleveland's last touchdown, there was a pick that got reversed on a flag. There was a roughing flag. Did you see that play, Parlay? I did not think that flag should have been thrown.
Oh, I saw it. I had a Miami in a teaser that went down because of that call.
Should that have been thrown?
No,
it's ridiculous. And so Miami doesn't cover. Probably should have. Certainly should have for teasers, but they don't do anything in the end. Fitzpatrick, 21 of 39, 214, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks, sacked 4 times. 5 for 45 on the ground, another touchdown. Miami secondary was missing 3 starters in that game yesterday. All of that said, Philly's going to be a 7.5 road favorite. How about that for decisiveness?
Pretty close. I see anywhere from 7.5 all the way up to 9.
Okay.
I think the 9 is way too high here, I got to tell you. I kind of like your number. I think I'm going to open 8, though, just to kind of be in the middle. This is a tough game because I'll tell you what, you know, Carson Wentz, it's not, you know, I'm not sure you should have put him where you did. I mean,
no, absolutely. Clearly I was wrong.
Yeah, right. Clearly you were wrong. But let's not forget, only a couple years ago, he was the favorite for the MVP.
Yes.
Late in the season before he got hurt. You know, and then the Philly went on to win the Super Bowl without him, and we'll get to Nick Foles pretty quick too. You know, but you know, he was missing an awful lot, but the Philly team is missing an awful lot, and I think that's one of the key issues here. Not just Wentz, but the whole team right now is just really, really banged up. I think Miami has a pretty good chance, you know, certainly to cover. I don't know about win. But I think they have a terrific chance of covering. I think it's just you know, very high number. So I'm going to open 8. They'll probably lay it to me, but that's okay. I'm going to take a bet on Philadelphia and probably going to need Miami in this game.
Philadelphia 5-6, just a game out in the NFC East, where Dallas is in first place, 6-5. Yeah. Or otherwise stated, the Redskins are just 4 out. Chris, how about that? The Redskins, just 4 out.
Yeah.
So you're saying there's a chance. Yeah. So you're saying there's a chance. All right, let's do one more. So a couple more. What do you got next?
Oakland at Kansas City.
Oakland at Kansas City. Oh, I know.
By the way, this got moved to the afternoon. Got moved to the afternoon.
Okay. Because I always chronically overrate Kansas City here. My guess will probably be higher than the market. Oakland finally shows themselves, I think, a little bit yesterday. Oakland loses to the Jets. Not just lose. They lose 34-3. As 3-point, 3.5-point road favorites. Oakland, who had, let's put it this way, they, you know, if Cincinnati were any kind of a football team, Oakland probably loses that game last week to them. Oakland had a win probably against the Chargers they probably shouldn't have had, but they get exposed a little bit by the Jets yesterday, maybe a lot, 34-3. Derek Carr, 15 of 27 for 127, no touchdowns, one pick, was sacked once. By the way, that pick was a pick six. He was pulled by Coach John Gruden with just under 2 minutes left in the third quarter. Derek Carr. Now, we go after Jared Goff when it's inclement weather. We're always like, oh, Jared Goff, California boy. Look how he looks like a deer in headlights. It's only 32 degrees, not 32 below, for goodness sake. Here's Derek Carr's record now in games where the temperature starts below 50 degrees Fahrenheit. It was 43 at kickoff yesterday. Guess what his record is in 11 games straight up, Jeff? Under 50 degrees.
I'm going to go 1-10.
2-9.
Not good, Gil.
Not good. Mike Glennon, or as Gruden called him in Hard Knocks, Glennon, was 4 of 7 for 20 yards yesterday. Josh Jacobs, 10 carries, 34 yards. Oakland gets housed by the Jets. We'll get to the Jets side later. Kansas City coming off the extra rest here, coming off a bye. I'll say the Chiefs minus 10, and I'm very prepared that that's going to be way too high.
No, you're right on. I see a couple 9.5s, but 10 is certainly the predominant number. I'm going to open 10.
There you go, Mark.
You know, Carr had really played some pretty good football, but you know, when we look back, you know, maybe against some very weak opponents. And the thing that I have to take note of, though, Oakland went and got a lot of wise guy money yesterday. Wise guys were all over Oakland. So I try to take that into account because maybe they saw something that I haven't seen. But they got annihilated yesterday by not a very good team, although we'll get to the Jets a little later. So I think 10's okay. Kansas City off some extra rest. We know Andy Reid's record off a bye is very, very good. And I think 10's a good number here. I'd be careful laying too many points, but I think 10 is probably a pretty decent number.
Jamal Adams of the Jets yesterday after that game, quote, "I don't want to sound very arrogant or too cocky." Talking about the Raiders fans now who showed up at this game, but I think they came in a little too happy. I think they thought it was going to be an easy game. He felt the need to say that afterwards. I kind of get it. All right, so it's 10. Let's do one more.
Tampa at Jacksonville.
Oh, geez, there's a game. 2-4-7 teams. Tampa Bay with their second win in their last 7 games yesterday. Congratulations to you, Buccaneer fans. Beat the Falcons, as I mentioned, 35-22 as 3-point dogs. Win it outright. Jameis, it was good Jameis yesterday. 18 of 28 for 313, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks. wasn't sacked. It's his sixth straight. You fantasy folks know this kind of thing. Jameis Winston's sixth straight 300-yard passing game. Though, of course, in typical Jameis fashion, you have to quickly, after the comma, say, though, of course, he's been picked off an NFL high 20 times. That is Jameis Winston. Chris Godwin continuing to be his biggest target. 7 of 184 for 2 touchdowns. Seems to outstat Mike Evans pretty consistently now. 446 total yards of offense for the Bucs yesterday. And then there's the Jaguars, who we mentioned got crushed by the Titans in that flurry of touchdowns in the third quarter. Nick Foles yesterday for the Jaguars, 32 of 48 for 272. No touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 3 times. Leonard Fournette, 24 for 97 with 2 touchdowns. Jags were penalized 11 times for 104 yards. They had 9 sacks. When they played the Titans the first time, the Jaguars, they sacked Marcus Mariota 9 times. You remember that? Not to pick on Mariota, but they sacked him 9 times. Yesterday, they sacked Tannehill only once. That clearly the most glaring difference between their 2 games against the Titans. It's Tampa Bay. It's Jacksonville. Both teams are meh. It's probably not Jacksonville minus 3. I just split the difference between the 3 and a pick 'em. I'll say it's Jacksonville minus 1.5. Seems fair.
Yeah, very good, Gil. It's one, but mostly 1.5. I think 1.5 is okay. You know, we were talking about QBR when we talked a little while ago. Here's Jameis Winston. Played well. He was 18-28, 313 yards, 11.2 per attempt. But he did have those 2 interceptions, no sacks, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, no sacks. 90.8 was his QBR. I got that. That's pretty high. Again, I'm not sure what all goes into it, but I wouldn't have guessed he'd be anywhere near a 90.8 out of 100 QBR. That seems pretty high.
Wow.
Kind of shocking when I was going through the numbers early this morning. You know, at Jacksonville, they're kind of a meh team. I guess 1.5's okay. I could see one, either of those 2 numbers. I guess I'll start at 1.5. You know, like, we had good Jameis yesterday. Oftentimes, we don't get good Jameis.
Yeah.
So we'll go with 1.5 and see where the public wants to take me on that one.
I ask a question at the end of every Beating the Book Megapod that I do with Mike Palm and Todd Wishnev each and every week. And one of the final 2 questions is always, if we lived in a bizarro world and we had to bet a side on every single one of these games, but you were allowed 1 free pass, what would be the game you would want no part of? I would think Tampa Bay at Jacksonville is your early front runner for that. Who knows what you get in that game?
Yeah, that's a leader in the clubhouse at this point. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, Barley, you agree with that?
I was gonna make it a $3 favorite to be the number 1 choice.
Absolutely.
On that.
Okay, we'll continue. We'll try to extract some value. This is kind of difficult this week. These are pretty tight, these lines. We'll come back. We'll get some more Week 13. A lot more to get to. At least 6 more games, I believe. Coming up right here on A Numbers Game at Visa. It's brought to you by the BetMGM app, as always. New Jersey's ultimate online destination for fans who want to bet on football, pro and college basketball, hockey, and much, much more. And this week, BetMGM with a special offer for new customers on tonight's matchup between the Ravens and the Rams. Great game tonight. Just use bonus code VSIN100. To place a $1 pregame moneyline bet on the Rams and win $100 if the Rams get a first down. I'll say that again. First-time BetMGM bettors get 100-1 odds on the Rams getting a first down. Just one. That's all they need. When you use bonus code VSIN100, it's time to believe in your game at BetMGM. Turn your predictions into convictions with real money bets on parlays, boosted odds specials, in-game live betting, and much, much more. Just download the BetMGM app or visit BetMGM.com today and get 100-1 odds on the Rams getting a first down when you use bonus code VSIN100. Got to be 21 or older. Got to be in New Jersey. Restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for the full list of terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's the BetMGM app. Coming back, guessing lines, Week 13 in the NFL. I can breathe right here on VSiN.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Big news here at VSiN. We're in the beer business. Well, if you know that, Parlay, are you aware of it? Today, VSiN is announcing the launch of Bookmaker Blonde. It's a golden ale crafted by the Lewis and Clark Brewing Company in Montana, and it'll be available in a few weeks, starting here in Las Vegas with the South Point, the D Hotel, the Golden Gate, and the West Gate. Today, Lewis and Clark Brewery owner Max Pigman will be unveiling Bookmaker Blonde at 6 p.m. Eastern when he joins Brent Musburger, who is also, by the way, brewed in Montana. See what I said right there? See how I did that? On My Guys in the Desert. Go to bookmakerblonde.com for details. That's bookmakerblonde.com. Winning tastes better with the VSiN Bookmaker Blonde. Coming back, Guessing Lines, Week 13 in the National Football League. It's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parles is here. And, of course, my mishpocha, Chrissy Andrews, on the phone, the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook Director. Let's do some more of these, Chris. We got a whole bunch more to get to.
Okay. The New York Jets at the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, the Bengals. Bengals are 0-11. I don't know if you know that. Jets, as we mentioned, Jeff Parles' boyhood team. The Jets crushed the Raiders, as we pointed out, 34-3. Sam Darnold yesterday, 20 of 29 for 315, two touchdowns, no picks. He was only sacked once, ran for another score. It's the fourth 300-yard game of his career, and it's the Jets' first three-game winning streak in over 2 years. Since week 3-5, Jeff, of the 2017 season, the Jets did not punt in this game yesterday until the two-minute mark of the third quarter. Robbie Anderson was Darnold's favorite target, 4 for 86 and a touchdown. They out first downed, if you will, the Raiders 21-10. The Jets came in allowing a league low 79.1 yards per game rushing. They gave up 68 to the Raiders. And then there's the Bengals. Franchise records now for the worst start and the longest losing streak. They're 0-11. Ryan Finley yesterday, 12 of 26 for 192. One touchdown, no picks, was sacked four times in their loss to the Steelers. And by the way, that loss was 16-10. And boy, did the Bengals have their chances in that game. Tyler Boyd, five catches for 101 and a touchdown. But the Bengals were 2 of 12 on third downs. They only gained 244 total yards of offense. They had a chance, but Boyd made a catch, was stripped by Devin Bush at the Steelers' 8-yard line in the fourth quarter. That preserved the Steelers' lead, and then Bud Dupree sacked Ryan Finley, forced a fumble that he recovered with 2:38 left to close out that ball game. So, again, Bengals had their chances. They just couldn't get over the hump. And really, we'll get to the Steelers. Steelers just had that one big play from Duck Hodges to James Washington. Otherwise, maybe the Bengals win this, but not to be. Bengals 0-11. I'll say the Jets, who we left, remember a couple of weeks ago when Sam Darnold, when they won that first game of this three-game winning streak, Sam Darnold was like at 2-7. He was like, you know, if we win out, we could still make the playoffs. They're 4-7. There's still a chance.
Nobody's laughing now.
Nobody's laughing now. Jets minus 4, I will say, at Cincinnati because they're the Jets. Let's not get too crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty much a solid 3.5.
Ooh, I was high. Wow. I thought I'd be low, if anything.
You were high. I'm not sure. I don't like your number better, but I'm going to put an asterisk next to this game. If this goes higher, I'm going to go higher. You know, really, the Steelers didn't win that game. The Bengals lost it. Mm-hmm. And we told a story a couple of weeks ago, a story time that had never been told about Kevin White. Not his real name,
yeah.
Who went crazy over the Bengals. Boy, if this one ain't making them crazy again, I don't know what would. This team is just so awful. They are really bad. And the Jets, you know, I mean, if Darnold holds the ball, I mean, if he protects the ball, doesn't throw interceptions, doesn't fumble, then they're not a bad team. They got a decent lineup. And, you know, I think big questions about the coach. You know, questions about Darnold, of course. I think still we have to look at that going forward because, like I said, he had this problem in college. He's had it in the pros, didn't have it yesterday, but he does not protect the ball well enough. But if he does, and then I think there's a little bit of a cheap number, but actually 3.5, I see 3.5 with juice on the dog a little bit. So I'm going to open 3.5. If I opened it, 4, I know they would jump all over it. But I'm going to keep my eye on this one. I preferred higher things. But we're going to open 3.5.
God, why would they jump on the Bengals, though, right? Like, it seems like there's such a funny sentence. Like, but why would they? Zach Taylor just looks...
I think I made that joke yesterday. What a terrible way to die, getting trampled to death by a guy running to the counter to to bet on the Bengals.
That's right. Zach Taylor just continues to look bewildered, and A.J. Green, I guess, is just punting on the season. He's just like, yeah, I could play, but I don't really feel like it. Jeff, you're a lifelong Jets fan. How do you feel about this team here? Do you think they are seriously, they're 4-7. They are not completely out
they're
of the playoff
They're not making
picture.
It because that was their first win against the AFC this year, by the way, Gil.
Jeez.
Which is, if they were in the NFC East, they would be right in the thick of it because yeah. – Because they're 3-1 against the NFC East. The only loss was against with Luke Falk playing quarterback. Look, it's very simple with Sam Darnold. When he doesn't turn the ball over, Sam Darnold's actually been pretty good in his NFL career.
Yeah,
it's just like we talked about it after the New England game and the Miami game. When he commits turnovers, it seems to come in droves.
I've never seen someone spiral as badly once he gets a first turnover.
It just in droves. But look, he's been great the last few weeks. They played some bad teams. They played Oakland yesterday, that game was never close after the first quarter. It was complete annihilation after the first quarter. And when Darnold protects the ball, as Chrissy said, he's 100% right. Darnold's actually pretty good. That week one loss to the Bills for the Jets looms large for both teams because Buffalo's coasting into the playoffs because of that, and the Jets may miss by a game because of that.
All right, let's easy with the Jets. Maybe they will miss by a game.
I said may. Yeah. Big difference.
No, just they're 4-7. I don't want to get too crazy about it, but that just shows you how the bottom of the AFC playoff picture is looking right now, that they're at least in it, technically. All right, Chris, what's next?
The Rams at Arizona.
All right, so we haven't seen the Rams yet. They play again tonight. Good game at home against the Ravens. We'll learn a lot about the Rams tonight. We'll probably learn a lot about the Ravens. Rams at Arizona, and Arizona's coming off a bye. So it's the sight unseen Rams against the 3-7-1. Always not, you know, never fun to bet against 3-7-1 Arizona Cardinals, if that's a sentence that makes sense. Because Kyler Murray is never fun to bet against with the back door open. I mean, just as a placeholder, I would say Rams -3.5. What the Ravens are to the Rams tonight, I would say the Rams are to the Cardinals.
Yeah, pretty evenly split between 3.5 and 4. I think I'm going to open at 4. I expect the Rams to look good tonight. The Rams is just one of those interesting teams. You look at the sum of the parts is really pretty good, but they have not put it together this year. But, they were a Super Bowl team, not long ago. Let's not forget that. Can they get it together? I think they can. And like I said, expecting them to play well tonight. And Arizona, coming off the bye, I think probably does mean a little something. Still don't like the coach down there. I've had my questions right from the start from Kyler Murray. But I'm ready to take a mea culpa there. He's a lot better than I expected him to be. I do like the 4 a little bit better. Like I said, it's split between 3.5 and 4. I'm going to open 4 myself and expect the Rams to show up tonight. And I think that'll be the more predominant number come tomorrow morning.
Have I been more than a point or point and a half away from any of these today? Like, this is a far cry from a few weeks back or 4 weeks ago with the famous Pittsburgh-Miami one when I guessed 7.5 and it was 14.5 and like the worst guess ever. But these lines are pretty logical to me so far today. There's still like a handful of opportunities here to mess up, so let me not speak too soon. What's next?
The Chargers at the Broncos.
Oh, God. Jeez.
This might take the place of Tampa Bay, Jacksonville.
Yeah, this is just terrible. I told the story on the Megapod. I'll tell it right here. So when I was recovering, and again, thank you to everybody who wrote such nice, kind notes to me on Twitter at Beating the Book after my complications for my Achilles surgery, where, again, I had a massive pulmonary embolism, a saddle embolus, a huge blood clot that was impinging on my heart and was really touch and go there for a second for me. But that was the night, like, to give you an idea how completely surprising this all was with me, because I was just short of breath. I mean, can't be that much wrong with me. They came in there and they said, we got to give you an immediate thrombectomy. We got to take care of you. We're admitting you. I'm like, what? You're admitting me? And this, to give you an idea how our brains are and how it takes a while to sink in, my first thought was, wait a minute, the Chargers are playing in The Chargers are playing the Chiefs in Mexico City at 5:20. Am I going to be okay for a kickoff of this game? Because I'd like to watch this football game. They're looking at me like I'm nuts, right? Like, really, really? So I missed the first half of this game because I was under. But by the time halftime rolled around, I was in a gurney in this sort of recovery room with other people in gurneys. And we couldn't see each other. We just knew each other. Everyone was looking up at their own individual TV screen. And so I asked them to put it. So we all watched the second half, strangers in this recovery room. And when Philip Rivers and the Chargers had that last drive, it was just hilarious to hear the common, they were all united by the common knowledge that the Chargers were never going to win that football game, right? Like they had, everybody was like, oh, Rivers. Like I could hear these different things. People from their own recovery beds are like, oh, same old Chargers. Chargers lost that game, of course, to the Chiefs. They had a bye here. They're at Denver. Denver yesterday. Whew. Denver loses to Buffalo, as we mentioned, 20-3. They lose as 3.5-point dogs. Brandon Allen. There's another Allen for you, Chris. Brandon Allen, 10 of 25 for 82 yards. Is that good? Zero touchdowns. One interception. He was sacked four times. Here were his stats in the second half. 3 of 14 for 4 yards in the second half. I'm not making that up. When you factor all the sacks in, by the way, the total passing yards in the game for the Broncos was 49 passing yards. 49 passing yards when you factor in the sacks. Drew Lock, everybody. Drew Lock. He has spent the past 2 weeks practicing since being sidelined in August by an injury to his right thumb. He would remain on IR the rest of the season if he's not activated by December 3rd. So there is a Drew Lock decision coming up, if not this week, then next. Not that that should excite anybody too much either, by the way. Let me not make too big a deal of that. So what do you make of that? Chargers are at the Broncos. I mean, I could say Chargers minus 3, but then I say, that why would the Chargers deserve to be 3-point favorites? And we just saw the Broncos play fairly well here in recent times. I'll split the difference. I'll say Chargers minus 1.5 on the road at Denver.
Yeah, it's 1.5 and 1. I'm going to go with 1.5. You know, the Wise guys were all over Denver yesterday. It was a big play for them. I mean, and you know, on the pod on our show last week, I said I love Buffalo. You know, everybody opened at 4.5, 5. I opened at 5.5. And they took it, and a lot of times I'll skip 5, just go straight to 4.5 when they take. They, you know, one of those sharp guys took the 5.5. You know, my guy, he went to 4.5. I said, just go back to 5. Buffalo's going to kill this team, you know. And obviously, I'm wondering, did I see something really wrong here? Evidently, I didn't. But you know, I don't know. This is a terrible game, and I don't know. I guess 1.5. But like between this and the Tampa Bay game, I don't know which would be the one I'd stay away from. But this is, can you imagine watching this game without a bet? I sure can.
That's so sad. If betting didn't exist, 2 of 11 on third downs were the Broncos yesterday. They had 134 total yards of offense on the stat sheet. By the way, let me ask you a question before we get to one more. How many of these so far have been afternoon games? Because yesterday, the NFL did that thing, right, where they had nine early games, and then 2 afternoon games, which is really one game staggered to the next, right? One 4:05 Eastern, 1:05 Pacific, then another, the Patriots and the Cowboys at 4:25, 1:25, and then the Sunday night game. So it was like 9 games at once and then standalones. Like, what are they doing? So how many of these were afternoons so far that we've gone through?
7 so far, and then we've got one more. The next game is Cleveland-Pittsburgh. They got flipped from a later game to one of the early games. So they probably did that because they're probably expecting some trouble with Cleveland and Pittsburgh and don't want to have too many drunken fans.
Oh, that's an interesting point.
I'm not sure if that's going to help, but that's, you know, my opinion on this. And by the way, Gil, you were talking about your embolism and all that. Don't do that again, Gil.
Yeah.
Please don't do that. Okay. Don't do that.
I'm sorry. I you know, like I said, I was like, it's just, I came scooting into the ER. I told you, the doctor said that. They go, well, 2 things. One, we got to hand it to you. We don't usually see people coming with this, scooting on into the ER. They're usually keeled over. Yeah. 2, we got to go. We got to put you under immediately. You know, that kind of thing. So, again, the lesson in all of this, ladies and gentlemen, listen to your bodies. Listen to your
advice. I can attest to that. I did my own stupid things when I had my disease, you know, so.
Well, I think,
Guys are idiots.
One of your stories, and forgive me if I'll just offer one, is you were short of breath, and you would meet some, you would have a lunch date, and you would tell people, oh, yeah, no, go ahead, I'll meet you there. You know, I just want to go to the bathroom kind of thing, but you knew that you were going to slow them down kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, I always say the final night is, you know, I go get my keys from valet. I have to walk about 30 feet to get to my car. And I'm like, looking at it, like, I don't know if I can make it to 30 feet. And the first thought that crossed my mind is Steph Curry can make jump shots from here. And I'm not sure I could walk that far.
That's how we think.
That night I went to the hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeez. I know.
Listen to your bodies. All right, so you mentioned it's Cleveland at Pittsburgh. This is the rematch, revenge, whatever you want to call it, from that Thursday night debacle in which Myles Garrett swung Mason Rudolph's helmet at him, and Myles Garrett is done for the year, regular season and playoffs, because of the suspension based on that. And then the fallout afterwards, Myles Garrett late last week saying that Mason Rudolph had a racial slur against him. The NFL finds no evidence of that, but on and on, suspensions were rampant in this situation. Marquise Pouncey served the first of his two-game suspension, for instance, yesterday for kicking and punching Myles Garrett. Steelers actually had a bunch of guys out. Juju was out still again. Juju Smith-Schuster, he was out with a concussion. James Conner with a shoulder injury in their win against the Bengals yesterday. Let's start with Cleveland. Baker Mayfield in that win against the Dolphins. 24 of 34 for 327, three touchdowns, one pick. He was sacked once. Nick Chubb, 21 carries, 106 yards, and a touchdown. Jarvis Landry, 10 catches, 148, and a touchdown. OBJ, 6 for 84, and a touchdown. That's the first time Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. scored touchdowns in the same game as Browns teammates. Hadn't done that, the two of them, since 2013 when they both played at LSU. How about that? And then Pittsburgh in that win against Cincinnati, as we talked about, they were playing shorthanded. Probably should have lost that game. But they now have, as you very well know as a Pittsburgh Steeler guy, Chris, they've got a quarterback decision. Mason Rudolph was 8 of 16. 8 of 16 for 85 yards in the first half yesterday. No touchdowns, one pick. He was sacked once. And Mike Tomlin said, that's enough of that. Devlin Duck Hodges come back on the field. 5 of 11 for 118. Most of that on that 79-yarder to James Washington with a stiff arm for the ages. One touchdown, that was it for Hodges. No picks, sacked twice. Benny Snell Jr. out of Kentucky, 21 carries for 98 yards for the Steelers. In Connor's absence, Washington was 3 of 98 with that 79-yard touchdown. 10 penalties, 76 yards, on and on. Anyway, it's Cleveland at Pittsburgh. It's the rematch, and what Chrissy's saying is right. The NFL braced, obviously, for this. I have a feeling everybody's going to be on good behavior. But because of the controversy here, if I can even use that term with the Steelers, will it be Rudolph? Will it be Hodges? And I kind of think Mike Tomlin's got to go to Duck Hodges here. But because of that, this is kind of a coin flip to me. I'll say it's a pick 'em.
Again, I like your number better, but I see Cleveland 1 and 1.5.
Hmm.
The thing about Pittsburgh right now, you mentioned the players that missed yesterday, and you almost have to assume they're going to miss this game too. Juju Smith-Schuster, James Conner, and Mike Pouncey is definitely missing. You know, he's on suspension. That's three of their absolute biggest key guys to that offense. So they'll let's assume they're missing. And at this point, that's what I would think. And about the quarterback controversy, I think you got to go with Hodges myself. I called for that yesterday during the game. But we're talking about Rudolph has the worst QBR of any player who's started any kind of significant amount of games this year. But, Duck Hodges was not much better. Hodges' QBR was 25.6, which is terrible, even though his passer rating was 115. And again, just a different way of looking at some stats, because I'm, we get analytical. I'm not sure always what's more important and what isn't, but it's just a different way of looking at it. But the team did seem to have a little bit of a spark when he got in there. And Rudolph, I got to say this. I'm not crazed about him as a quarterback. I thought he'd be like one of these guys that can be serviceable as a backup throughout most of his career. But the racial thing that got accused, that he was accused of, even if he's innocent, and I hope that he is. I hope that he is. There's no evidence to say that he's not. That's something that'll stay with him probably the rest of his life. And that's why I don't like that, you know, with no evidence whatsoever. And, you know, his teammates jumped in to defend him right away. Well, I don't know. I think it's a shame that would get attached to a kid like that, you know, a young player, like I said, with no evidence. But, you know, I mean, that's just the way it is in today's society. All that being said, Cleveland really played well yesterday. I think they had one of those games sort of coming because they do have a very good lineup. We talked about Freddie Kitchens, not a very good coach, but they ran into the right opponent yesterday. And even then, I thought they did all they could to try to blow that game. I really did.
Yeah.
You know, so I do. I like the pick better, but I see a lot of 1.5. So I'm going to open 1. And see where they take me with that. But if I see pick, I'm going to go to pick. And I don't think Pittsburgh should be a favorite with all the players that they do have out. But I'm not sure Cleveland should be a favorite either. And you're talking about people on good behavior. Players on the field probably will be. The fans in the stands probably will not be.
That's a good point.
I would expect to see some fights in the stands. So
yeah.
I think that's why they moved this game. The drunken fans between Pittsburgh and Cleveland will not be a pretty sight.
Yeah, I mean, right now, Pittsburgh 6-5. If the playoffs, if we did the old playoffs were to begin right now thing, Pittsburgh's in as the sixth wild card team, or excuse me, the second wild card team, but the sixth playoff position, the final one at 6-5. Oakland and the Colts, as we mentioned, tied with them, as is Tennessee at 6-5. And then it's the Browns, just one game back of them at 5-6. So this could still happen for both of these football teams. Huge football game, despite all the you know, the extracurriculars from their last contest. It's an actual huge football game in terms of the 2019 season, the fates of these two 2019 seasons. We'll come back. We'll do the primetime games. By the way, the answer to the question was there's a grand total of 3 afternoon games on Sunday. It's a little squirrely because we have the 3 Thanksgiving games, but 3 late games on Sunday before, of course, the primetime games hit. We'll talk about those with Chris. It's a numbers game. Guessing lines right here. Week 13 in the National Football League at VSiN.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Yeah, I just wanted to make some notes here, or clear up some stuff. Indianapolis putting Eric Ebron on season-ending IR, ankle injury. So that's a big loss for the Colts. And I mentioned right guard Brandon Brooks left the game in the first quarter for the Eagles yesterday. Turns out he leaves, according to reports, due to an illness related to anxiety. He's been open about dealing with anxiety, took to social media Monday to address what happened. Apparently he has a routine where he wakes up and does a typical routine of morning vomiting. Jeez. And it didn't go away like it normally does. So that's what forced him out of the game for the Eagles yesterday. The nausea and vomiting came back until he left the field. And so, that's just another thing to add to the Eagles' personnel losses on offense yesterday against the Seattle Seahawks. We do have primetime games. Sorry to gross you out there, parlay first thing in the morning, but just wanted to clarify that. There was not an injury. So if you want to learn more about that, go to Brandon Brooks' Twitter. We got the primetime games, week 13. Chris, what do you got Sunday night?
Pretty good one Sunday night. New England at Houston.
They flashed up this stat yesterday. Did you see this during the Cowboys game for New England?
About the halftime lead?
Yes. At Gillette Stadium.
Yeah, amazing.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
The adding yesterday's victory to this, the Patriots now at Gillette Stadium, I would imagine this is under Bill Belichick, I'm guessing, 99-1 at Gillette Stadium when leading at halftime. 99-1. That can't. I mean, that has to extend past Belichick, right?
No, Gillette Stadium opened during the Belichick era.
Oh, right.
So it's all of the
games at Gillette. Right.
The Tuck Rule game. Sorry, Raiders fans. Was the last game at the old stadium there,
and that was 2001.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, that was right around Belichick getting there, right?
No, well, that was their
a
first,
year after.
That was their first Super Bowl champion.
A year or two into his tenure. So 99-1. Is what they finish with the halftime lead. They had a halftime lead yesterday. That was their 99th win in 100 such instances. It's the 18th straight regular season win for the Patriots at home. They've won 10 games in 17 consecutive seasons. It goes on and on and on. But I would like to say this. Is Tom Brady still in the upper echelon of quarterbacks? 17 of 37 for 190, one touchdown, no picks, two sacks. Now, again, horrible weather yesterday in Foxborough. Typical New England kind of winter weather. A lot of precipitation. The wind was high. N'Keal Harry, 75th player to catch a touchdown pass from Tom Brady, extending an NFL record. 75th dude to catch a touchdown pass. Different guy, that is, to catch a pass from Brady. The Patriots, though, had as much trouble as the Cowboys did, really, on third downs. They were 3 of 13 on third downs. There was no Mohamed Sanu yesterday. Philip Dorsett were both ruled out. This is at Houston. Houston coming off the extra rest now. Remember, they had the Thursday night win against the Colts, in which Deshaun Watson went 19 of 30 for 298, two touchdowns, one pick, one sack. Will Fuller, the fifth, seven catches for 140. DeAndre Hopkins, six catches, 94, two touchdowns. They were 6 of 12 on third downs in that game. New England at Houston. I will say that this is New England minus 3. And the reason I don't make it more is because if you're watching the New England Patriots, as good as that defense is, again, caveat inclement weather, but it even extends further back, that offense is not very good. So I'll say it's minus 3 on the road.
You know, Gil, it's 3 with juice on the favorite. I do see some 3.5 flat and 3.5 with juice on the dog. I'm going to open 3.5. I'll probably take it off me, but I think that's okay. But I hate to play this 3.5 game all week, especially on a night game, because we'll do a ton of business and I have to avoid that. You know, this New England team, a couple things I want to say. First of all, they remind me of that Broncos team that won their last Super Bowl with Peyton Manning, who was really just a shell of himself at the end of the year, or that whole year, really. He was kind of like the game manager, quote unquote. Then they had a great defense, not a very good offense, won the Super Bowl. I think Brady's probably not quite as bad as Peyton was that last year. Their defense probably as good. And if you need a game manager, is there a better one than Tom Brady? And, Kubiak was a coach for that Bronco team, who I thought did a terrific job. And of course, you got Belichick, the coach of this team. So I think they're still very, very viable as a Super Bowl. We got them a favorite, you know, and I think they deserve to be that. They're really tough to beat down this stretch. But I do think Brady has certainly come back to the pack. He's probably in the upper half of quarterbacks. But a lot of that, I think, has to do with the fact that he knows how to win games rather than just go out and light up a scoreboard. He's not going to be able to do that. But, you know, that's the NFL. I mean, you got to win games. It's not college. I mean, college, you know, you go out and you got to put, you know, 40 points on the board to win a game. Yeah, you can put 24 on a, you know, on the board and win most of your pro games. We only put, what did they have yesterday? 13 or what did they have? 16, 13, whatever it was.
13.
Yeah, they won. Yeah. Some pretty phantom tripping calls. I don't know what the heck that was.
Cowboys got so hosed on that. Yeah.
Boy, I don't know where that came from. I mean, I saw absolutely nothing on either one of those. But anyway, I'm going to open 3.5. I think it should be a really, really good game. But, you know, I'm not saying I'd lay the 3.5 on the Patriots, but I'd probably lay 3 if that's what it was everywhere, 3 flat. But I don't see 3 flat. I see 3 with juice on the favorite and 3.5 juice on the dog. So I'm going to open 3.5.
Yeah, phantom tripping call on Travis Frederick, which really stifled the Cowboys' attempts to come back and win that game.
Yeah.
By the way, 99-1, the only loss was that Thursday night opener against the Chiefs in 2017. The Patriots were up 17-14 at the half, lost 42-27, 21-0 fourth quarter for the Chiefs that night. Let's do the Monday night game real quick.
Hey, before we go on, I do want to say one thing. I just remember this, and I don't have the numbers with me, but Bill Walsh was kind of like the same way. He wanted to build a big halftime lead, and second halves, he just was, you know, grinding it out, and he knew how to win football games. And I got to tell you, one of the things when I was still out there betting quite a bit, I bet second halves under on those great Niner teams because they'd score a lot the first half, and everybody, you know, had high numbers for the second half. And most of those second halves went under. Bill just knew how to run the football, have a very controlled passing game. I see Belichick doing kind of the same thing. With a similar type quarterback too, by the way.
Chrissy, let me sneak in a break here. We'll come back. We'll do the Monday night game, okay, and we'll recap what we like, if anything. Tough week here. Week 13, yeah. Guessing Lines on a Numbers Game right here at VSiN.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
All right, Chrissy, what's Monday night?
We got the Vikings at the Seahawks.
Vikings coming off a bye. Seahawks remain undefeated on the road in six games. First time in franchise history. Russell Wilson, 13 of 25 in that win against the Eagles yesterday for 200 yards, one touchdown, one pick. He was sacked six times. Wow. Wilson, first quarterback in NFL history to start his career with eight straight winning seasons. How about that? Wilson started all 136 games since his rookie season, including 13 in the playoffs. Rashad Penny yesterday, 14 for 129, 58-yard touchdown run. When did Rashad Penny, by the way, when did Rashad Penny, Jeff, eat Maurice Jones-Drew? When did he become a bowling ball? When did that happen? Good Lord. 12 penalties for 90 yards for the Seahawks yesterday. They were without Jadeveon Clowney. Still got it done against the Eagles. I'll say Seattle minus 2.5 at home against the Vikings.
Well, I don't see any 2.5s, but I see 3 with juice on the dog.
Okay.
So, we do everything 11 to 10. We're going to open 3. They'll probably wind up taking it off me, but I try to hold the fort at 3 as long as I can. Because I know if I go to 2.5, they'll lay it right back. And that's another thing we talk about, how many games the point spread comes into play. Go from 2.5 to 3 or 3 to 2.5 and see how much action you create. It's quite a bit. So, it's one thing for the players and a different thing for bookmakers.
Looking back on these then, Chris, what do I like? I mean, this was the most pristine guessing of lines thus far this year. Yeah. These were all really cozied up. So just my first instinct, and it's not much of an instinct, but my first instinct is kind of chalky, which hasn't been the case in recent weeks. Carolina's only, quote-unquote, giving 10 to the Redskins. I kind of like Carolina. KC giving 10 to the Raiders. I thought I was going to be high. You tell me it's 10. I kind of like KC. Jets only giving 3.5 or whatever it is on the road there to the Bengals. Those are kind of my instincts. What do you like real quick?
I like the Bills taking, 7 if you can get it, but it's going to probably disappear quickly. And the Saints, you could probably lay 6.5. I'm going to open at 7 myself. So those are the two, both on Thursday. And other than that, not much. Not much at all.
Yeah, that's tough. Parlay, any reaction real quick?
Tough week yet again.
Yeah.
Very simple. I actually like my Jets laying 3.5 in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I do too. I think Sam Darnold, they are really trying to get that playoff race. The schedule is favorable, that's for sure. Chris, thank you. Appreciate it. I'll talk to you soon, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Stay healthy. Yes, stay
thank
healthy.
You. You too. Chris Andrews, South Point Sportsbook Hotel Casino Sportsbook Director, kind enough to join us once again on Guessing Line. You can follow him at Andrews Sports, the name of his book, Then One Day, available where all books are sold, including Amazon. Thank you for listening. Enjoy.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more,
Right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.